Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Playing this week is Chris Brewer from Ottawa, Illinois. Chris is the owner of a commercial and residential cleaning company, as well as the host of Skillet Brew Trivia. His expert categories are animals, The Office, How I Met Your Mother, and the WWE. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, Chris, are you ready to begin your game?
I think so.
All right, great. Thanks for coming on here. I've heard you on Tangents, and I was joking before we started recording that it's going to take you changing podcasts to finally get a wrestling question in trivia.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, hopefully I know the wrestling questions when I get there. Otherwise, it's going to look really bad.
I'm saying we've been waiting for it. Let's see what happens when we get to it. Yeah. On that note, Chris, your expert categories for this game of Lockdown Trivia are animals, legendary one rules, where I will ask about the various one rules Barney had in How I Met Your Mother, The Office, and one letter off WWE. We'll get to that when we get to that. Of course, your bonus keys can come from your five bonus questions. Those are Win in the World, National Blank Day, Before and After, Deep Cuts, and Stormy Trivia. Where would you like to begin your game of Lockdown Trivia?
I mean, it's really hard not to just say, let's just jump right into the wrestling, but I think we need to create some drama. So let's just start at the top. Let's just go with the unlocked animals.
Your unlocked animals question is this. Necessary to help blood get as far as 2 meters from their heart to their brains, which animal has the highest blood pressure in the animal kingdom, as high as 280 over 180?
Okay, 280 over 180. That doesn't seem that high. I think I've gotten close to that mark. And now I'm just trying to fill in some talk here. This is the unlocked one. This would be the giraffe.
It is the giraffe. That is correct. Not many animals have a distance of 2 meters between their brain and their heart. So there's that. All right, one key in your pocket. What do you want to do with it?
All right, well, you know what? Let's just keep going. Let's do animals for one key, please.
Animals for one key is this. Despite their diet, what dichromatic animal in the Ursidae family has a digestive system that makes them very inefficient at eating plants?
Ooh, okay. So this, before we started, how I was saying, you know, I like animal trivia. I don't know if I'm an expert because I don't even know what like three of those words are that you said. Okay. Very inefficient. Dichromatic. So, I don't know. I feel like that has something to do with color. So, two-colored. Which then makes me think of a zebra. But I've never heard of a zebra having a hard time eating plants. Kind of makes me think of the koala bear. Because I know that mama koala bears have quite the interesting way to feed baby koala bears. Because the babies can't digest the food. Oh, is it as easy as two-colored? You know what? Oof, this could be an early out for this one key, but I'm going to say the koala bear.
You are remarkably close with your guess. Ursidae is the bear family.
Oh, it's the panda bear, isn't it?
It is the panda bear.
Of course it is.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Chris.
Two-colored bear, of course, panda. Yeah.
You said zebra, and I really wanted you to go, black and white is right, but it's not a zebra. I thought you'd get there.
Yeah, I should have.
All right. Unfortunately, I do have to take the key you got away, but we have plenty of places to go. Where would you like to go next?
You know what? Let's do the unlocked The Office.
All right. The unlocked office question is this. Years after it was relevant on the internet, Michael, Dwight, and Andy became Trey Shearers, or practitioners of what physical activity, as they film a video of them running, jumping, and climbing around the office?
Oh, yeah, that's great. That would be parkour.
Parkour is
parkour.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. I learned the word trecheur when writing. That is one who parkours.
That I had never heard that word before, which is going to be a theme here, Dalton, I assure you. I'm not great with words, pronouncing them or understanding them. So how I got to the trivia community, I have no idea.
There's a doozy coming in this game if we get to it then, because there was a $5 word I learned in this game.
Oh, boy.
But all right. You have one key and you're not going to get there yet. What do you want to do with it?
All right. Well, let's take that one key and stay in the office.
All right.
Yeah.
Your one key office question is this. Known as the Electric City for its early adoption of electric steam cars, what real Pennsylvania city is where the fictional events of The Office take place?
You ever have you have all this information and then you go to take a test and it's just gone. I mean, this has got to be Scranton.
It is, in fact, Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Good.
All right. Two keys, Chris. What's next?
Well, I don't know if this theory is going to work or not, but let's jump back up to animals and try to get the two keys there.
All right. Your two key animal question is this. With a Spanish-inspired name that calls it silly and literally describes its appearance, what animal endemic to the Galapagos Islands is known for its meticulous courtship dancing?
Galapagos. This is another. So my brain immediately says tortoise because I hear Galapagos and I think tortoise. But could that mean silly? And I mean, tortoises probably don't have a mating dance either.
I would pay to see it if they did.
Yeah, I mean, that would be quite something. It would take a long time, that's for sure. No, I mean, then I want to think, are there lemurs down there? But lemur is not a descriptive what they physically look like. Man, I don't know a lot of Spanish words either. Dalton, I don't know if I have a guess here. I feel like as soon as you tell me the answer, I'm going to be like, yeah, of course it is. Yep, I don't have anything. I'm going to have to pass.
This is the blue-footed booby.
Oh, the blue-footed booby. Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. I wouldn't have got that. But I mean, that's a great question. I appreciate
enough.
That.
All right.
I feel like I picture their dance, too. Is it kind of like a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great for audio, too, but... For the listeners, we're bobbing our heads and shoulders back and forth.
Don't forget you're flashing your feet forward to show off for the ladies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
All right.
Back to no keys, but still plenty of room to work. What's up next?
All right. Oh, yeah, no keys. You know what? I think it's time, Dalton. I think it's time. Let's try this one letter off WWE.
All right. So in this round, I'm going to give you a clue that will both hint at the name of a major wrestler in the 90s, which was one of your expert categories, but also say something weird going on that will change the correct answer to be one letter off their name. For example, if I was to say something like a wrestler turned actor who starred in Moana is really obsessed with collecting the things we usually wear under our shoes, that would normally be Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but because what we wear under our shoes is socks, and that's one letter off of rocks, you would have a correct answer of Dwayne The Sock Johnson.
Okay. Yes.
So, our unlocked question here is this. Even a macho man might have a soft spot for the thing Bow Wow Wow says they want in a 1982 song. Aaron Carter wants it in a remake.
So we got, Macho Man Randy Savage, obviously. Bow Wow would... Okay. Macho Man Candy Savage.
Is correct.
All right. Now I get it. All right. Oh, God, this has... I mean, my brain doesn't work great to begin with. This is wonderful, Dalton. I love what you're doing here.
I just hope this category gets some laughs because honestly, this is a degenerate category.
Well, I like how you're saying degenerate too. So there better be some Degeneration X questions in here. If not, you kind of missed the boat on that.
I might have missed the boat on that.
Ah, that's
Chris.
Right.
Where are we going now?
Well, let's keep it going. Let's go wrestling. One key.
All right, your one key wrestling question is this. A wrestler with a chilly nickname that started wrestling with the WWE in 1995 retires from wrestling and becomes the Canadian Prime Minister from 2013 to 2025.
All right. I mean, I'm assuming this has to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Problem is, I'm not sure I could name any Canadian prime minister. I mean, unless it's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. 95? No, that's got to be Stone Cold Steve. Steve. And we're changing one letter, right?
Only one letter.
Only one letter. So I'm going to assume I'm correct on Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I don't think you're going to change a letter in Steve. So it would have to be a letter in Austin. Is it okay if I write down the name Austin?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. I can use paper and pen.
Yeah, cool. There's going to be some alphabet tricks in this round, I imagine.
All right. So Steve, prime minister, boy. And I'm sure it's probably been somewhat current event-ish, which I don't follow current events either. Steve, all right, Stone Cold Steve, maybe Boston. It's my guess. I have no idea. Sorry, Dalton.
The Canadian Prime Minister at that time is Justin Trudeau.
Oh, you know, yeah, I should have known that.
Stone Cold Steve Justin, the correct answer to that one. Chris, no keys anymore. But again, we haven't touched the bonus questions, and we still have the unlocked one rules category. Where do you want to go next?
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to, I told myself I wasn't going to do bonus keys until I had them. That's going to be sooner rather than later. But let's go legendary one rules.
All right. This is a round inspired by Barney's various one rules in How I Met Your Mother. The unlocked question is this. OSHA and Barney agree on one thing. You should always do what before you return to work?
I mean, wash your hands.
Absolutely. Wash your hands.
Yeah. All right.
There's the baseline of difficulty for that round.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And it's going to get harder. I know. And let's find out how hard it's going to get.
All right. Your one key How I Met Your Mother one rule question is this. Originally sung by Steve Perry and now by karaoke enthusiasts everywhere. What song should make you stop whatever you're doing and sing along with one hand up in the air?
Okay. So, come on, Barney. All right, Steve Perry. Pretty sure that's Rush. One hand up in the air. What Rush song? It's got to be on his Get Psych mix. Let's go with Don't Stop Believin'.
I cannot believe you just got that right. Because Steve Perry is the lead singer of Journey.
Oh, Journey! That's right.
And you still got to Don't Stop Believin' from Rush.
Dalton, I'm just glad I got it.
I'm happy for you. I'm a little insulted as a Journey fan, but I'm happy for you, Chris.
Well, here's the thing. So Journey and Rush, to me, in my brain, it's the same band. They're completely different. I know they are. But, all right.
That's funny. Well, you've got two keys now.
Yeah.
By some miracle of classic rock. But we have two keys. What are we going to do with them?
Oh, God. I put classic rock as my music genre, too, didn't I?
You did.
Not as a spoiler alert, but yeah. All right. I got two keys. I got to go back to WWE. I love what you did there. So
cool. Your two key WWE question, one letter off, is this. A wrestler who loves sweet chin music is bad at video games. So he keeps having to start over at the place his character loads in after he dies.
Oh, that would be the Heartbreak Kid, Spawn Michaels.
Spawn Michaels is correct.
Oh, that is well done, Dalton. I love it.
I appreciate the compliment. I was actually worried. Full disclosure, and this, I'm not trying to sound like I'm talking to the old guy here, but I was worried in writing that question that Shawn Michaels would have been immediate, but does this guy play video games?
Oh.
That's what my thought process was in that one.
Yeah. No, that's a good thought process. I like you thinking of the player, but yes. No, that's perfect.
You have fully opened the board up now that you have three keys in your pocket. You have a lot of places to go. What do you want to do with it?
Well, I am tempted to go back and make an attempt at animals, but I don't think I should, to be honest, Dalton. I don't think my expert level animal trivia is more of I just enjoy animals. So let's keep going with the wrestling.
All right. Your three key WWE one letter off clue is this. A prominent Canadian wrestler in the WWE through the 80s and 90s starts playing an instrument prominently featured in the Bible, most notably by King David.
Okay, so my Bible knowledge is worse than my Canadian prime minister knowledge, but I mean, you think prominent Canadian wrestler, it's got to be Bret the Hitman Hart. So I don't know if there were harps in the Bible, but I'm going to say Bret the Hitman Harp.
Bret Harp is correct.
All right. Awesome.
Yes, excellent there. I'm glad you got that one as well.
Well, and there's so many prominent Canadian wrestlers, but I mean, it's Bret Hart, even though his brother Owen was better wrestler than him. Hot take.
It's, first of all, rest in peace. And secondly, what I will say about that is it's tough when you're writing any sports theme thing. And I use the word sports loosely with WWE, but when you describe something as greatest or biggest or whatever, like there's some subjectivity to that. So I'm glad that at least we are on the same wavelength of when I say prominent Canadian, who's the top of that list to you?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. You've got four keys, totally open board. What's next?
Let's close out this wrestling. I hate to see it go, but.
All right. The last wrestling question, clue rather, is this. The wrestler better known as The Undertaker becomes an astrophysicist so he can study our neighboring planet with frozen ice caps.
Now I need to try to remember what The Undertaker's real name is. And I feel like it's Mark because he wrestled as Mean Mark. Mean Mark. So my planet knowledge isn't great either. But I'm going out on a limb here because I do think Undertaker's name is Mark. So if you change that K to an S, you get Mars, which is a planet. I have no idea if it's a neighboring planet of ours. It's got to be, right? I mean, we're trying to send people to Mars. Mars Calloway.
Mars Calloway is correct.
Yes.
Being that his name is originally Mark Calloway.
Okay, yes.
With the one stumble there with the Justin Trudeau Canadian Prime Minister knowledge, you had a really good WWE round in what I think was a degenerate and funny, but difficult category. So well done to you there.
No, and I mean, that's you. As many of them as I got right, you get the kudos for writing those. That was great. Those were great questions. And really, I should have known that Justin Trudeau. It was well done. Well crafted.
Thank you very much. And you have five keys in your pocket.
All right. I think I'm going to take the four keys legendary one rules question.
All right. Your hardest one rules question is this. Here comes that vocab word, Chris.
Oh, yes.
What dress code that is often referred to synecdochically by its principal element for men does Barney say is never optional?
So I feel like I'm locking in on something and I don't know if I can get it out of my head, but I'm worried it's not right. I feel like there's a part where he says black tie is never optional, but I think he says black tie is always optional. I can't get black tie out of my head, so I'm just going to say it's black tie.
Black tie is correct.
Oh, okay.
Now that vocab word, Chris.
Yeah.
Synecdochically is to describe something using a part of it as to describe the whole of it. So to call it black tie is only talking about that one thing, but you know what the whole thing is.
Well, now everybody just learned two new things.
I'm saying, I was researching that category and someone said that on Wikipedia and I was like, what the hell is this word? And then I saw it and I'm like, well, that makes it the four key question. That word has to be in there.
Yes.
Well, you have plenty of keys now, Chris. Mm-hmm. You can keep it rolling. What do you want to do with them?
Okay. Let's take, you know what? Let's just go for it. I'm going to take The Office for four keys.
The Office for four keys. The hypothetically hardest question in the category is this. Not to be confused with a collection of fables that use animals and inanimate objects to teach lessons. What is the name of Oscar's trivia team that lost to Andy's team on the final question?
Oh, God. All right. I know this. And I feel like for all the live trivia I do, every now and then a team will do this. And I think, no, don't do that. That's Oscar's. So I think it's Aesop's Foibles.
I'm glad you've played enough live trivia because that is correct.
Okay, good. Awesome.
Aesop's Foibles. Not foibles. To be confused with fables.
Nice.
All right. Plenty of keys. We're rolling now. What's next?
All right. So, oh gosh, I know I should go up and try to take the four keys and the animals, but I don't want to lose those keys yet. So let's just go three keys for The Office.
All right. A little gamesmanship going in here now. Your three key Office question is this. While Dunder and Mifflin met at the Rotary Club, Michael and Holly's play suggests they met at what college with notable alumni such as Robert Frost and Rachel Dratch?
Okay, so Man, right off the top of my head screams Dartmouth. Am I going to overthink it, Dalton? Or should I just go with Dartmouth? I'm going to stick with my initial thought. I think it's Dartmouth.
Sign of a good trivia player is one who trusts their gut on that first reaction. It is Dartmouth.
Ooh, I was very scared. I was like 50-50 on that.
I'm glad you did not flip the wrong coin, at least.
Well, that's the good thing about not being super smart, is you don't have a lot of options in your head to have to try something through. You're just like, well, that came to my head, so let's do it.
All right. Everything's open. I know that there's some hesitancy on the animal category. It may pay off for you to be hesitant, but let's see what you got next.
Yeah, I mean, I've missed two out of the three in animals, and so that's my theory. If I go up to four keys, I mean, odds are I'm going to get it wrong, judging by history. And then I got to start, and then I got to rely on the bonus. Two keys in the office, please.
All right, the last office question for two keys is this. Dwight wants you to know that his middle name isn't Fart. It's what name? Also the first name of a Hall of Fame quarterback who played for the Cardinals and the Rams.
That was a great episode, too. I think that was on his ID tag where they put Dwight Fart Schrute. Just hilarious. Maybe it's just fart jokes. I don't know. I think fart jokes are kind of funny. I'm going kind of tangential here, though.
George Carlin did a great spinoff in the middle of his show where he said, hey, it's time for a few fart jokes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it probably killed everywhere. Yeah, it's almost kind of like instead of one letter off, we're doing two letters off here. I think it's Kurt.
It is Kurt.
Yes.
That is correct.
All right. Kurt Warner, right?
Yes, Kurt Warner.
All right.
I'm probably going to get checked by my NFL experts, but if you think of Hall of Famer quarterbacks that played for those two teams, I would challenge them to come up with a better answer than Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first one that popped into my head. So.
All right. The streak is rolling right now, Chris.
All right. It is. Legendary one rules for three keys, please.
Legendary one rules for three is this. Barney may have suffered from ailurophobia because he had a rule specifically saying to never have what animal around?
Could I have you spell
that
phobia?
Ailurophobia is A-I-L-U-R-O phobia.
Okay, I mean, that didn't help me at all. But for the listeners, maybe. Never have this animal around. Okay. When I think of Barney and the animals, let's see. Teacup pig. But he loved those. So he wouldn't say don't have that animal around. Never have these animals around. Oh, Barney. And I'm looking at the spelling of that word as if I can diagnose what it's talking about at all.
I'm a big fan of Latin roots, so I respect the strategy.
Yeah, I do enjoy a good Latin root, but I have no idea what any of the Latin words mean. So, okay. Do not have this animal around. I mean, it can't be as simple as a black cat. Ah. Oh my God, I can even see him saying it, trying to watch his... I don't think I'm going to pull it. I'm going to say cats, but I don't think it's right. No cats ever.
Well, there's your pull of the episode, Chris.
Is it really no cats ever?
No cats ever.
Oh, you know, the listeners can't see, but my eyes are closed and I'm just picturing Barney's beautiful face saying it. And for whatever reason, cats, but I thought he was a cat. And maybe that's just because 2 feet away from me is my orange cat and his name is Stinson. So
a convenient piece of information.
Yes. All right. Cool.
All right. Your streak is alive and well. You can go anywhere you want. Where are we going?
Well, legendary one rules for two keys. Let's close her out.
The last one rules question is this. With a long cultivation history dating back to 3000 BC in Babylon, what tiny oil seed does Barney Stinson say is sure to relieve an upset stomach?
Okay. Tiny oil seed. Ooh, that's a good one, Dalton. Man, it's a good question. I don't know if I can picture him saying this one, though. I want to say hemp. So an oil seed, you got a grape seed, you got hemp seed. I'm going to say hemp seed. I don't think it's right, but that's what's in my head. I can't get it out. So
unfortunately, for the first time in a while in this game, I'm going to have to take your keys, Chris. Mm-hmm. This is a flax seed.
Oh, a flax seed. Of course it is. Yep.
So the streak is broken, and it pushes us to our bonus questions next.
Yes.
So for those listening, what we've got going on here is he has every bonus question available to him, and the only other remaining questions on the board are the 3-key and 4-key animal questions. So now it's a game of bank those bonus questions as best you can and see if you can get up to those animal questions again.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I got to get 3 out of these 5. Let's go with Stormy. Stormy trivia, please.
All right, Stormy trivia. Here's a question I think you should know based on my knowledge of you. We'll see how it goes.
Yes.
Best known for his work as the music teacher on Sesame Street, what Ottawa, Illinois native made a career as an actor, singer, and children's author?
Oh, well, yes, that is excellent. I love that question. That is the lovely Bob McGrath.
Bob McGrath is correct.
Yes.
It would have been a little embarrassing to get the Ottawa, Illinois native question wrong in the episode.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was on another podcast where somebody gave me a question about someone who went to Ottawa High School, which I had no idea, never even heard of the person. You, my friend, are a better question writer.
I'll take the Ottawa crown, thank you.
Yes.
All right, you've got one of the 3 you need to make this happen. What's next?
Let's go before and after, please.
All right. Your before and after clue is this: a 1979 song by Kiss with iconic do's repeated throughout the song meets a song originally performed by the Kinks and later covered by Van Halen.
Okay, so I know I gave classic rock, and you know my knowledge of Journey and Rush. My knowledge of Kiss isn't much better. I think I know one of their songs, and no, I don't. Never mind, because I was going to say School's Out for Summer, and that's not Kiss. Or is that Kiss? No, School's Out for Summer is Cooper. All right, are the Kinks classic rock? Punk?
They're a little older than the other two in the clue, yeah. But they're still, yeah. They're classic relative, I guess, relatively speaking.
All right, so Van Halen. All right, so a Kiss song is, oh my God, I can't even think of their like number one. Oh, Dalton, I'm gonna put myself out of my misery. I don't know. I'm not going to pull it. Nope.
The Kiss song is I Was Made for Loving You. And okay. The Kinks covered by Van Halen song is You Really Got Me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I Was Made for Loving You Really Got Me. Is
yes,
that is
great.
One.
Yes, that is awesome. Well done. Well done.
All right. Before and after didn't work out, but we have 3 more chances to get 2 correct answers to get back to animals. What's next?
I don't know what National Blank Day is today, so let's go national. Let's find out.
As of recording, today is National Crayon Day.
Oh, all right.
So here's a crayon question. Crayola announced that it will be bringing back 8 retired colors for a limited time this year, including what shade of yellow named for a flower?
The only one I know is marigold, so I don't even know if that's yellow. I'm going to say marigold.
Unfortunately, it is not marigold. This color has a weird cult classic following to it. They're bringing back dandelion.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
So there's that.
I like dandelions. Is marigold yellow?
It's a very dark yellow, I think.
All right. Well, so. I'm going to count that as a win. I know you don't because you didn't give me any keys, but...
Correct.
I'm going to...
But bonus questions don't hurt you. So we do have 2 bonus questions left. If you get them both, we can get back to the animals round. If you miss even one, we'll do the other bonus question,
sure.
But we will not get back to animals. Which one's going to be first?
Let's do deep cuts.
All right. It's coming from classic rock. This is a band, a reminder for the deep cuts question. This is an artist or band that is absolutely undeniably big. This is not going to be a weird one. The weirdness of it is it's songs from their first album. So
okay.
Only think of big artists for these questions.
All right.
Here are the 5 songs that are deep cuts from the first album of a very famous classic rock band. It is this: Chug All Night, Most of Us Are Sad, Take the Devil, Early Bird, Tryin'.
Ooh, yes. Early Bird, Tryin'. All right. So I'm kind of flipping. I got a coin flip here. I'm going to say Led Zeppelin.
What was your other guess out of curiosity?
Probably not much better. It was going to be the Rolling Stones.
Well, the coin was going to doom you either way, Chris.
Yes, yeah, I figured.
Yep, this is the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles. Okay, yes.
So, unfortunately, that does doom our chance at getting back to the animal questions. However, we still have this last bonus question to ask and see if it will affect your score. So when in the world, I'm going to give you three major events. You try to tell me what exact year they happened.
Okay.
Here they are. The world's first ever daily weather forecast is published in the United Kingdom. Sir William Crookes discovers thallium when he burns the dust from a sulfuric acid industrial plants. And Richmond, Virginia is named as the capital of the Confederate States of America.
Okay. You would think out of any of those three, I should be able to decipher. I got to get the year exact. Is that what you said?
The year.
Okay. 1858.
You are very close.
Oh.
The Civil War started the same year that Richmond was named the capital of the Confederate States of America. That would be 1861.
Oh, okay. You know, I figured it had to do something there. I thought maybe they did it before the war started. Yeah, that's fine, though. That's good.
Chris, you got 15 points, and this is not a particularly easy game. So good on you for that.
The questions were written amazing. The game, it's fun. Dalton, this was great. I knew signing up, I'm like, well, you have your bars that you have to set. Every game needs that high bar, and then every game needs that low bar. I don't mind being the low bar. I'm okay there.
Well, you are, at least as far as a 15 out of 25 goes, a passing average score.
All right.
We'll get you back on to increase that score next time.
C's get degrees, right, Dalton?
C's get an episode of Lockdown Trivia. I'll say that.
There we go.
Chris, anything you got going on or anything you want to shout out before we head out of here?
Sure. Yeah, I should probably shout out. I do a little trivia podcast myself with my daughter, Irene. It's called Skillet Brew Trivia. You can find it on the PTE network where all podcasts are found. And just give it a Google, give it a listen, and we'll go from there.
I may have to return the favor and pop over to an episode of Skillet Brew Trivia.
I would love to have you come play Skillet Brew Trivia.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Thanks again, Chris, for being on this episode. It was honestly such a joy to have you. You're a great guest, and you're a lot of fun to record with. So again, thank you. This episode was a lot of fun to write for because only one category, the animals category, did I feel like a subject matter expert in. And ironically, that was the category that Chris was absolutely not an expert in. To his own admission, that was just something that he really enjoyed and wanted trivia questions for. So we go to the categories that he is an expert in, The Office, How I Met Your Mother, and WWE, and I don't know anything about those. I haven't seen either of those shows with any seriousness. And as far as the WWE goes, I really have avoided professional wrestling my entire life. So how do you write categories about those? This was a big round that was inspired originally by Reddit. You just start browsing what people like. What are some good trivia questions they have? What are some of their favorite factoids, etc.? And you can't just copy them. You have to take those and be inspired by them to write your own questions. Focusing on the WWE category for a second. I could not, with seriousness, write factoid type questions for the WWE. It is not genuine to who I am, and it would just yield average or kind of bland questions, for lack of a better explanation. So I had to say, okay, what am I to this category? Well, I'm kind of cheeky. So I can look up at least the biggest wrestlers ever, names we've all heard, and what can I do to them? I can put my spin on them by throwing things I know in at them, and changing the one letter, which is why I did that. Chris really loved the category, and I'm glad he enjoyed it so much. But again, when someone gives you an expert category that they're requesting, if you cannot honor that category by writing the trivia that they might generically expect of it, put your spin on it, respect the game, make sure that you are putting the questions and the player before yourself or any showiness, and then good things follow. Just bring your spin to it, and that's exactly what I tried to do with that WWE category. The How I Met Your Mother category, to a lesser extent, had that going on. How I Met Your Mother, I couldn't really focus in on that as a show in its entirety and write questions, so I said, okay, what are Barney's rules? I know that's a thing. Just read through those, and those inspired me to write questions. So the biggest lesson from this game is honor your guest, respect the game, and when you cannot write a category and honor the questions that would need to come from that category, put your spin on it, make sure your guest is ready for it, and have a good time. Our bonus question from this game comes from the animals category, and it is this. Once dubbed the world's ugliest animal, what deep sea creature that became a popular meme actually looks very normal in its habitat, as much as 3,900 feet deep in the oceans near Australia? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Chris one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to be on your own episode of Lockdown Trivia. You can sign up with the link in the description of each episode. All you need is four expert categories and your favorite music genre. The correct answer to the bonus question of this episode is the blobfish. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back wherever you get your podcasts for some more Lockdown Trivia fun. My name is Dalton McGee, and I've been your host. I can't wait to continue to research, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to learn as we unlock your brain one key at a time.
Are you aware of how the koala bears feed their babies?
Do they regurgitate?
Well, kind of. It just from the other end.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so essentially the mamas are feeding the babies their poop.
So they're living by that skate fast, eat ass mentality.
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
Love that.